Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. And it reads, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So I continue this sermon series, God's Ways of Life for Us, reminding us that in this season of Pentecost, as we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit that came down and helped unite the people, that we must continue to be united as followers of Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, I ask that you guide my words, that these words speak your truth, and that we take the time to reflect on the word through your scriptures. And Lord, I ask that our reflections on the word and the message this morning be truly thoughtful, truly discerning, and reflect your love and will for us. In your son's name, amen. So first, I have to apologize for those who've been with us the past three Sundays. This scripture passage you've heard now three or four or more times. But I think it's an important scripture passage, especially the verse 38 and 39, that says, "For I am convinced that death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." I think we have to truly understand that nothing can separate us from God's love. And when we truly understand that and accept God's love fully in our life, to guide our life, to make it be the light that we follow, then we have Christ Jesus in our hearts, and we have nothing, nothing to fear. So the past few Sundays, I've talked about how we need to follow God's ways of life for us, to be patient instead of being impatient, to be saying it's always God's way or his way, and instead of insisting it's our way, to be selfless in all we do instead of selfish in our lives. And this morning I want to talk about not being fearful, but to fear less. And if you notice in the bulletin, the way the sermon title is printed, fear less is two words, to have less fear in your life. It's not being fearless to be more courageous and bold and faithful. So notice that it's fearless, two separate words, not one word. And this morning I want to first, though, ask you to think about what you are afraid of. Is it simple things like spiders or snakes or the dark, or more dangerous things like unfortunately being robbed or having an accident? They say that there are different levels of fear that everyone faces in their life. The first level of fear is it's just more that surface level thing, things that you see and you automatically know danger. You know, people who are afraid of snake are afraid because they don't want to get bitten and they know a snake bite can be dangerous. People who are afraid of fire, when you go near fire, you feel that warmth and heat and you know that it can harm you. Or if you see a knife with someone is holding, you know that that knife can be harmful to you. It's a surface fear that you automatically feel and react to when you see these items. Then there's also the sort of second level of fear. They say it's the learned fear or the experienced fear. When you yourself have experienced something, such as unfortunately a car accident, then from that point on you may fear many times driving in cars or accidents that could happen. When you're a child, you learn by your parents who warn you about things, to not talk to strangers, to not put your hand on that hot stove, or to not run into the street. It's learned fear that you learn by experience or by being taught. They also say there's a third level of fear. It's that irrational fear, that unreasonable expectations that you have in your life. And this kind of fear can make you stop doing things or make you not want to proceed in life because you're so fearful that it is debilitating. There's all these different types of fears, and just for fun, I looked up a bunch of them, and already there was a list of over 100 different fears. We all know the fear of heights is called acrophobia, but did you know there's also a fear of plants, botanophobia? Or what about a fear of clowns? Does anyone fear clowns? I used to, as a child, really fear clowns. The fear of clowns is called chorophobia. It actually has a name. And of course, I mentioned the different accidents, a car accident, or an accident you can have from a fall, or just the things that might happen daily in life. If someone has a great fear of accidents, though, it's someone who has discotechrophobia. And then there was one that I found out, and maybe you can guess what it is, ecclesiophobia. Do you know what that is, a fear of? Ecclesiophobia, any guess? Church. It is a fear of church, and apparently it is a real fear that some people have. Thankfully, none of you here have it. Ecclesiophobia. And when you're facing all these different types of fears, whether it's just, you know, surface level or deep-seated rooted fears or things you learn, they say that there's also often three responses to these types of fear. There's the fight, flight, or freeze. We tend to do one of these three things when we're faced with something we fear. We might tend to fight. Our blood gets boiling. Our body tenses up. We want to fight back against this fear. If you see a snake and you're a brave person, you want to stomp on that snake before it can bite you. There's a fear of flight. When you see a person running at you with a knife, hopefully you will flee because your body just knows you want to get away as quickly as possible from that fearful situation. Or there's also another reaction, the freezing, where when you're faced with something fearful in front of you, you're cold, you're numb, you don't react at all, you don't know what to do, you become paralyzed, you freeze in a time of fear. But when we talk about how we want to be fearless and have less fear, and how we want to fully put ourselves and our faith and our trust in God, we learn a different way to respond to fear. And this is to face our fears. When we fully trust in God, there is not a need to fight these fears. When we fully trust in God, there's not a need to flee or flight away from these fears. And there is not also the need to freeze, to do nothing, or to become paralyzed, to just stay numb. But instead, we can face our fears when we fully trust in God and follow God's ways of life for us. For in this morning's passage, as Paul is writing to the people of Romans, and if you remember in the past sermons, I said specifically that Romans is this great letter that Paul wrote to the people to tell them about the wonderful news of salvation made available through belief in Jesus Christ. And Paul, especially in chapters 5 through 8 of Romans, is trying to teach the people about how great salvation is. And he closes at the end of chapter 8 with a reminder that belief in Christ means Christ will intervene for you. And when Christ intervenes for you, then you can face anything. You can face hardship. You can face distress. You can face persecution. You can face famine or nakedness or peril or even the sword. Because the people of that time that Paul was addressing, the people of Rome who were following Christ, these new believers, were facing all these things. They had hardships. They had distress. They were dealing with financial hardships. They were dealing with being put still into slavery. They were dealing with a corrupt government. They were dealing with famine. And when you are in a place of famine, where did the people go to for food? They went to the rulers, but the rulers were corrupt. They said, "You must follow our sinful ways, or you must give money to the corrupt priests and scribes. Then we will give you food." The people truly, yes, were facing famine. They were also facing persecution and peril, that if they did worship just one God, the true God, God our Father, God the Creator, and follow Jesus Christ, they were in trouble. They were facing persecution. They were facing arrest. They were facing trials. They were even facing death by the sword. Some people were not able to worship in the temple. They had to worship together privately in homes and at night secretly so they would not be arrested. Their prayers to just the one true God were being monitored. They had to watch what they say. Can you imagine us today not being able to worship in church on a Sunday morning, but instead having to meet at midnight in someone's backyard in secret, or not being able to pray. We can pray in church, we can pray in schools. I know it's a big debate, but we encourage people to still pray, to pray at work, to pray with your neighbors, to even pray in the grocery store. We have that freedom. But the people then were still being persecuted. They had to watch out. So when faced with all these fears, fears of persecution, fears of the sword, fears of distress, fears of hardship, the people were starting to do these F3Fs. They were freezing, they were fighting, they were fleeing. But Paul was reminding the people there was another option to face their fears, to not turn away from the fears, but to not fight back with evil, and to not just freeze and do nothing, but to face the fears instead. So in this morning's passage, as we see highlighted on the screen in Romans 8:37, that says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Paul is calling the people to be conquerors of their fears, to face their fears because they have Christ behind them, Christ that can even push them forward to face these fears. He's encouraging them all to do that, to then overcome the hardships, the distress, the persecution, to be able to say strongly in the government's face or the priests who were corrupt or the people that were persecuting them that their faith was first and foremost and would lead them and take over the fears they had. So Paul is saying then to trust in God. So then as he closes this part from Romans 8 verse 38, that nothing, neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers or things present will come, will height or depth or anything else in all creation will separate them from the love of God. You all should have received then the insert, and it was a reading I read, I remember about, I think 2 years ago, from an author named Julie Giles. And Julie Giles writes different devotions, and this was a devotion I found from her from a website called Proverbs 31 Ministries. And she does a unique thing, and she talks about in this devotion why she stopped praying against fear. She says that her name is Julie, but for too long her middle name might have been Fear, because she was always fearing for things in her life. She said she let fear dictate her decisions she made. She let fear dictate the way she was a parent to her children, the way she did her calling or her ministry or her work. She let fear guide all these things and didn't let God guide her. So she said she decided finally one day that to do different in her prayers. She says for years she prayed diligently against fear, asking God to take fears away, asking that fear would not come in her life, asking that fear would not harm her family or herself. But she realized that she wasn't praying the right way, or she wasn't praying for the right things, because asking God to take all fears away meant that you would then live in a bubble. And maybe parents would especially understand this when you are fearful for the things in the life that can harm your child. You don't want your child to be hurt by a stranger or to have food that could hurt them or to experience a painful situation at school or fighting or to even fall. You're always guarding your child. But you don't want them, or you can't have them, live in a bubble, because there is the reality of life and the things that happen, the fear that is always around us in life. So then the person, Julie, in her devotion, she said she then began to look at fear a different way, to say, I'm not going to have just a life without fear, but I'll have a life that has less fear, or live a life that is fearless. So then she offers different ways to prepare your prayers for this, and then said, instead of doing one thing, do something else instead. So I asked different people to help us read a scripture passage that helps focus on what she is saying. If you look at your insert, the first bulletin point that the author says is in reminding people that instead of praying that fear will be far from us, we can ask God to give us strong, bold, and courageous hearts when fear comes near. And I actually asked Phoebe to read that passage from Joshua 1, verse 9 for us. Joshua said these words to the people of his tribe to be strong and courageous and to have God in their hearts. He is preparing them actually to go into battle. But it is a battle that the people do not want. He He is commanding them to be strong and courageous, to not be frightened or dismayed, for God is with them wherever they go, knowing that this is a battle they do not choose to do, but it is a battle they must be a part of, because they needed home, they needed shelter, they needed food. And then in this verse, he's reminding people that God gives us the courage, God makes us strong and bold, even when fear is near, to always remember that in your life. When you are facing a fearful situation, do not fight back with evil things. Do not flee the situation, because it will always still be there and will continue to follow you. And do not freeze and do nothing. Do not be paralyzed, but instead face that fear. And then when you think about facing fear, we move on to that second bullet point that the author says, that instead of asking God to take away all fear, we can ask for his grace to run towards the big, scary things with great courage. And I now ask, I think it was Yancey, to read 1 Samuel 17, verse 48. Okay. So if you know the story of David, and this is David and Goliath, the giant that the Philistines had sent to fight David's people. And then David volunteers, this young David, just maybe 12, 13, or 14, a little shepherd boy to face the giant. But David knew that the Lord was with him and that he would be able to defeat the people because he had the Lord and justice on his side. So then it says David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. How brave he was. He did not flee. He did not freeze. And yes, he did fight, but he fought in a way because he was facing this fear that was before him, because he knew God was on his side. And in our lives, we need to then also have this sort of courage when scary things come into place. I know for the past few days, as I've been praying with Teresa Young and her families, and as Reverend Chow and Pastor Sarah have been visiting Teresa and the family, all three of us had commented on how brave Teresa has been during this time. She knows that the Lord was continuing to be with her and John in that hospital room, and she knew the Lord's plans and trusted in the Lord to do the Lord's timing. She was courageous in this time. She did not flee or fight back or was paralyzed, but instead she faced this fear of what was happening to her husband. And we know that her faith will continue to guide her, and we ask that the prayer members continue to hold her in our prayers as well, to be able to face this fear, to face a big scary thing in our lives, even to run boldly into this time of fear. Then the third thing the author reminds us to do is, instead of praying that fear will leave us alone, actually pray that when we are afraid, we will have trust and confidence in God. And this is a reading from Psalm 56, verse 3, that, is it Jenny, I think, will be reading? Yes. Simply, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. What a simple, short scripture passage that we can think about, that we can use when we are fearing of being alone, and that praying instead when we are afraid to God. I ask you now to repeat that with me. When I am afraid, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you. Let's say that together. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. That is a prayer. These simple, I think it's 8 words total, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, is a prayer that we can say when we are faced with something that we are fearful of, that we will not be alone, but to know that God is with us and we have confidence in God to guide us. For these are the words that David said later in life. Yes, he had defeated Goliath as a young person, but he was now an adult facing battles and facing peoples who wanted to get rid of him, because David had become a great ruler and had threatened many people. And so now David, as an adult, knew that all these fears he had were greater. Think about your own life. Let's take school, for example. The older you get, the greater the risks become, or the more important things become, but then that also means the greater your fears can become. We know we've got, Kathleen, she just turned 11, right? So Kathleen, and we'll, you know, let your mom with her teacher ears not put pressure on you. When Kathleen was, you know, first grade, second grade, the grade she got was, you know, important, but maybe not so important. And now Kathleen, going to middle school, will be facing some more pressures, you know, wanting to get good grades that will lead her into the right classes that she'll take in high school. And then think about when you were in high school, how much pressure you had on yourself to maybe take those AP classes, to do the extracurricular activities, to get the good grades that would get you into college. And then the college students, think about your life in college and how you always wanted to do well, to impress the professors, because you knew that would lead eventually to the career choice you chose. The older you get and the more in life you experience, the greater the risk becomes, and then, yes, the greater the fears become. But we cannot let that greatness of fear or the more risk paralyze us or make us flee, but we must face it instead to say, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, God, to face the fears. And then finally, the author says, instead of asking God to make all fears in our lives vanish, we can pray that his peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and supersede all fears. And I've asked Philip to read the Philippians passage 4:6-7. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. That is facing your fears. To say, when a fear is before you, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fight back against it. I'm not going to flee, and I'm not going to be paralyzed and freeze. But instead, I'm going to pray. When we pray, you are not still. You are thinking in your brain. You might be doing some motions. You might be, you know, changing your body shape. But you are actively praying and asking God for courage. You're asking God to supersede all these fears. And so we must remember that when we want to follow God's ways of life for us, to not be fearful, but to live a life with less fear. As the author says, that when she began to pray that way, it changed her. She no longer made decisions in her life based on fear. She recognized, yes, there are worst-case scenarios, and as they started to form in her mind, she stopped entertaining them, and she didn't dwell on those, but instead she dwelled on her faith in God, and she was able to move forward to then be obedient to the ways that God was calling her. We, as Christians who follow Christ and have Christ in our hearts, are called to do that as well, to face all our fears, to not fight against them, to not flee against them, and to not freeze against them, but instead to face them and have full trust in the Lord, and to live a life that is not fearful, but a life that is fearless. Let us pray. Lord, we heard the words through the different scripture passages and also know the words from Paul to the people of Rome. We know, Lord, that you call us to live a life that is less fearful, to live a life that follows you instead of being guided by the fears and things that we worry about. For we know, Lord, that nothing can separate us from your love, from you in Jesus Christ our Lord. In your Son's name, amen.